In the 1950s, school children across America watched safety films instructing them on what to do if the country was hit by an atomic bomb. Students were told to crouch under their desks and clasp their hands behind their heads, an exercise called duck and cover.
Duck and cover. That's the first thing to do. Duck and cover. First, you duck. Then...
Since then, schools have come a long way in refining emergency plans. Janet Heimlich reports from Texas on how schools there are preparing for a possible terrorist attack.
Forget about duck and cover. Now there's secure in place.
Teachers, this is an alert. Please secure in place. Secure in place at this time. This is an alert. Thank you.
All right. It's a secure in place drill. I need you to be quiet.
At Northbrook Middle School in Houston, 7th grade teacher Leslie Brown knows what to do during a secure-in-place drill. First, she goes into the hall, making sure to lock the door behind her. Brown checks the hallway to see if there are any students there. If so, she'd bring them into the classroom. Then she enters the class through another door and locks it too.
That's it. We lock, we come in here, and then we would just wait until we got an email about what was going on.
The purpose of the drill is to make sure all students are accounted for and safely locked inside the school. Exterior doors are also locked. Many Texas school districts started practicing these lockdowns after terrorists attacked the World Trade Center.
School safety has been developing with our society, basically.
Adam Hamilton is president of Signature Science in Austin. His company consults with public schools on how to prepare for terrorist attacks. Hamilton says over the last 20 years, schools have learned to prepare for natural disasters, gang violence, school shootings.
And now the latest thing we've had to add are how do we address threats from terrorists that may or may not use weapons of mass destruction.
Yesterday, the New York Post reported that federal officials obtained an al-Qaeda training videotape where gunmen practiced storming a school, shooting children, and taking hostages. Still, security experts say it's unlikely that schools in the U.S. would be a primary target. Rather, they'd be affected by a disaster nearby. For example, Northbrook Middle School is close to downtown Houston and oil refineries. But all schools need to be vigilant, says Chuck Bronner. He's the police chief for the Spring Branch School District where Northbrook is located. Bronner remembers how the district was thrown into turmoil the day the trade towers were attacked.
Our phone system shut down because it was overloaded. Our computer system, a construction site, cut our cable, so we lost our email capability. So basically, we were cut off from our schools.
Now, all schools in the district are equipped with battery-powered radios so police can stay in touch with administrators. Bronner also stresses the need for communication among all staff, parents, and students.
We're in a dangerous world right now.
Today, Bronner explains to Leslie Brown, 7th graders, that if there's a real emergency, they won't be able to see their parents right away.
The day may come when we can't let y'all go home right away. You're going to have to stay here. And we want your parents to stay where they are, whether they're at work or at home, until the appropriate officials say that it's okay to go outside.
But while many Texas schools are getting up to speed, that's not the case across the country. Last July, a national survey of school-based police officers showed that 95% of those questioned believe their schools were vulnerable to terrorism. The Department of Education has been criticized for not giving schools enough money to help them prepare. But last Friday, the agency promised schools $30 million in grants for emergency planning. For NPR News, I'm Janet Heimlich in Houston.